What a merciful, powerful God that we serve. And I don't say that just to be saying that. I say that because it's true. And I say that because I know that's what we believe. That God is a merciful God. One of the things that I want us to look at tonight, I want us to see how merciful God really is. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We're going to look at one verse in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. We'll notice something in Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 10. Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them. And he did not. And he did it not. I think about this great story of Jonah that even Jesus references. We consider some things that Jonah was told to do. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And the reason why is because sin had come up toward God. These were a wicked people. Yet, these were a people that God wanted to demonstrate mercy unto. God wanted to demonstrate forgiveness. So he sends Jonah on his way, gives him orders. Unfortunately, Jonah didn't see the same thing that God saw. Unfortunately, Jonah did not see the things that God wanted him to see. God wanted these people to be saved. He wanted them to be recipients of his mercy, of his grace, of his loving kindness. We consider some things in this great book as it relates to the mercy of God. We understand that Jonah, as he is being disobedient to the will of God, goes in a different way. And usually when people are not going in the ways of God, they're going in a different way. God is wanting men and women to go on the straight path. God wanted Jonah to go on a straight path to Nineveh, to go preach to those people. He wanted them to hear truth. He wanted them to hear a message of repentance. We know that is true because when we understand the things that Jonah taught them, he wanted them to turn from their evil way. But, of course, Jonah did not do that. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 4, we notice something. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likened to be broken up. All of this was taking place because of Jonah. All of this was taking place because of his disobedience. All of this was taking place because he did not want the mercy of God to be extended to the Ninevites. You drop down a few verses later and you'll see in verse number 8, Jonah is the problem. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence cometh thou? What is thy country? And what are your people? Now notice, Jonah, he says some things to them that's pretty interesting. Well, he should have just answered the question, but of course, that's not what Jonah did. But at least Jonah told them the truth about one thing. I fled from the presence of the Lord. I'm running from God. Kind of wish he would have told them all of the truth. I don't want the Ninevites to be saved, and therefore, I'm running from them. But we see this in verse number 10. You go into verse number 17, and God, of course, wanting to extend his mercy to the Ninevites, wanting Jonah to go in the way of right in order for these people to hear this great message, if you will. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jesus quotes this in Matthew chapter 12. Jonah is now in the belly of a fish. 3 days and three nights, he comes to himself, he's praying to God. God speaks to the fish in verse number 10, and the fish vomits out Jonah. What a great story. But then notice, Jonah is on his way, chapter 3. And notice in verse number 4, And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey and cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And notice verses 5 through verse number 9. It's interesting that when God wants his plan to be done, it will get done. He got Jonah's attention. Now he can put himself in a position to not only establish some things with the Ninevites, but to demonstrate his mercy, his kindness, yea, forgiveness. Verses 5 through 9, so the people of Nineveh, they believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Notice the response to the message of Jonah, a message of repentance, a message of loving kindness, a message of forgiveness. Message of mercy. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne. Notice how he humbles himself. He laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, satin ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh. Notice this. By the decree of the king and the nobles, those are the princes and good men, if you will, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let him turn everyone from his evil way. Notice the decree that's coming forth from the king, the leader, if you will, of this Ninevite people, a Gentile people, an evil people, yet heard a message of mercy. Who can tell, this is from the king, if God will turn and repent, turn from his fierce anger, that we perish not. And God saw their works. I want to make a couple points. Notice Jeremiah 18 and verse 8. Even when it came to his own people, God extended that same mercy, that same loving kindness. God didn't mistreat his own people. God didn't mistreat the Gentile people. Some, because of their lack of understanding of God's word, believe that God had nothing to do with the Gentiles. That's furthest from the truth. God cared about the Gentiles, just as God cares about all men even today. But even amongst his own people, in Jeremiah 18 and verse number 8, he says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. God, in his very nature, has to punish sin because he's holy. 1 John 1 and verse 5. He's upright. And he made upright man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. Unfortunately, see that in the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn to the book of Ezekiel. We'll see something else. In Ezekiel 33, we notice something else about this great God of heaven that desires to extend mercy and kindness and forgiveness. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Notice what he's telling Ezekiel to tell the people of God. Tell Israel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Hold on. God, you want the wicked to turn from their way, their evil ways, and live? Yes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And notice what he says. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? It's interesting that God extended this great mercy to the Gentiles. But he also extended the same mercy into his own people. God wants all men to be saved. In Acts chapter 3, and look at verse number 19. I want us to look at this particular passage, and then we're going to look at just one more. In Acts 3, and verse number 19, in the New Testament, we understand that Peter is preaching here. This great miracle took place, healing the lame man. And notice what the Bible here has to say as it relates to the teaching. Repent, meaning turn, change your mind, ye therefore, and be converted, meaning to turn, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come upon the presence from the presence of the Lord. What does God want? Old Testament, New Testament, Brother Brian, God wants man to turn from their sins, to turn from their evil way. God has never wanted men and women to perish, if you will. He doesn't even want men and women to be hurt or to get hurt. Let me show you a little subtle point, and I believe it's a very subtle point in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, you remember in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and we kind of discussed a little bit of it this morning, but I want us to make a little subtle point here, because Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and no one could interpret the dream. It's interesting. Those who should have known, if you will, the soothsayers and his magicians, the ones that should have known, the ones that really they were a fraud, if you will. That's what they were. They were a fraud. But Daniel, in verses 11 through verse number 18, was concerned about even them. Why is this decree so hasty? He says in those verses. Tell the king to relax. I'm going to go to my God. I'm going to ask mercies from my God. And you know what happened? God gave him the interpretation of his dream. What's the point? The point is that God is a merciful God. And we, as his people, ought to realize that and want to extend that even to those who are around us. How do we do that? We do that by preaching and teaching the message. We do that by just being plain old people of God. We do that by keeping it very simple and doing like what the Apostle Paul would say, allowing God's work to take free course. Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. And notice what the Apostle Paul has to say concerning the gospel. God wants all men to be saved. God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. But friends, this is not going to happen accidentally. This is something that we have to pray for and pray about. This is something that we have to petition the Lord for. This is something that we ought to go to one another and say, hey, I'm talking to one of my best friends who's not a member of the church. I'm talking to a few of my family members who could care less about Christianity right now. I'm talking to a few of my co-workers, and they're having some difficulties in their lives. I want to pray that God will give the gospel free course in their lives. Unlike Jonah, who had a great opportunity to take this message to the Ninevites, to the Gentiles, for whatever reason. He didn't want to go that way. He wanted to go a different way. Hold on, Jonah. We got people here that need to be saved, and you're going in the opposite direction? That's a bad preacher. It's a bad preacher, Brother Brian. But not Paul. In chapter 3 and verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Why, Paul? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. What a powerful passage. But how will we accomplish this? I'm glad you asked. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, notice this chain of reasoning that I'm giving you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Evelyn and I was talking about this just the other day. And as I was thinking about it, it came to my mind as I was crafting this particular thought for us. Notice what the preacher says. Now, friends, this is powerful, because if the mercies of God are going to be extended to the lost, it's only going to be extended to those who are the earthen vessels of the gospel. Therefore, we need to find delightful words, acceptable words, words that people are going to be able to hear and understand and then make a move toward God. Notice what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12. In verse 10, he said, the preacher sought to find out delightful words. The King James Version says, acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. It's interesting. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Notice verses 2 through 6. You know, you think about what we're talking about. You're asking, what does this have to do with the mercies of God and Jonah going to the Ninevites? Jonah didn't even put himself in a position initially to even speak acceptable words. We have to continue to put ourselves in a position to speak acceptable words. But in Colossians chapter 4 in verses 2 through 6, notice what the Apostle Paul says. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would do what? Open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest or evident as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. What's the point that we're trying to make tonight? God wants to extend mercy. Just as he wanted to extend mercy to the Ninevites, God wants to extend mercy to the most hardened sinner on the streets of San Angelo, Texas. Wow. Not only does God want to extend mercy to the household of God, but he wants to extend mercy even to those who are on the outside. So we got to find acceptable words. We have to be praying that God will open up a door for us. Yet, we need to be a people who remain firm with the message of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse number 7. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 7. Whereunto I am ordained. This is Paul talking to his son Timothy, a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I don't lie. The teacher of the Gentiles. How, Paul? In faith and in truth. What type of truth should we be preaching? What type of mercy should we extend? Should people see our good works and glorify our God? Go back to Jonah 3 and verse 10. I want us to look at that passage. And I'm about to let you go. Just want to give you a little shot in the arm. Something to ponder. And God saw their works. Hold on. God's will was done. That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted the Ninevites to at least have the message, hear the message, that they could make a good decision on what they wanted to do or needed to do in order to be pleasing to him. And notice what took place. From the king to the animals. Now we know that the animals could not obey God. But the king was so thorough that he says, I want everyone and everything to acknowledge Jehovah. Just perhaps he'll turn from his first anger. So I challenge you. I challenge all of us. Who do you know in your family? Who do you know on your job? Who do you know at the ball games? Who do you know at the grocery store? Maybe a clerk at the restaurant that you frequent often, that you could possibly talk to about the mercies of God. I truly believe that when God sees the work of a sinner, seeing them coming toward him, because we're going to see it too, and we're going to gravitate by teaching them even more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God wants all men to be saved. how in certain ways, some ways, that we can be like Jonah. We have these opportunities, Brother Brian, and we walk away from them. Well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I might not say the right thing. Or you just don't know what that person did to me. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I know how it is to have hesitancy. I know how it is to have to talk yourself into talking to people about the gospel. I don't want to say the wrong thing. What if I can't remember that passage? What if I don't have the context down in my heart? I mean, these are things that I struggle with. But you got to talk yourself into doing that which you know is right. And this is right. This is my only point. I got one point. All of that was just introductory material. I got one point. Talk yourself into doing what God says. Never talk yourself into doing what Jonah did. It's going the other way. We all have people that we can talk to. But friends, those who are on the outside are really looking for opportunities to be a recipient of the mercies of God. Let's do our part. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's ask our brothers and sisters in Christ for prayer for these opportunities, that doors can be opened. Is it about filling the pews up? In one sense, it is, and in another sense, it's not. If anything, we want to fill the pews up with repentant believers. Not just souls who are coming to hear a good lesson, yet they have not repented of their sins and have not been baptized into Christ. Maybe one day that might happen. But God wants all men to be saved. So it's not about the numbers. It's about those who have repented and been baptized. And it's about those who may have been in congregations that were weak in faith, but they have repented, and now what they're doing is striving to be closer and closer to the Lord. Friends, it's about being faithful. Not just to the church service, but faithful to Almighty God. And we see that with the king, the nobles, and everyone else. And the king said, even the animals need to be in sackcloth and ashes, demonstrating that all of us and everything we own is going to be dedicated to Almighty God. Let us do that. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Consider Jesus Christ. Consider him King, Lord, Master, Ruler, Savior. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Repent. Turn away from evil and do God's will by confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being baptized for the remission of your sins. But just maybe, in some way, we've been like Jonah. We've gone the other way. Maybe it wasn't because of anger or some familial hostility that, like Jonah had with the Ninevites. But maybe it's because of fear, a lack of courage, a lack of understanding of scripture, a lack of knowledge. Well, whatever it is, we have too many people here that know just a little bit about the scriptures. We have too many people here that have a relationship with Jehovah. We can pray for you. We have too many people here that can sit down and study and get you strong in the faith that you can talk to your friends and families, co-workers, in-laws and outlaws. Well, y'all get it? Let's do that. So God can see them turning and extend mercy as we stand, as we sing, as we sing.